You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reform book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur. Prologue, Tilly Camden, Without a Hitch. They say behind every good man is a good woman. They say a hospital is only as good as its nurses. They say a hotel is only as good as its employees. They say behind every good wedding is a bridesmaid who gets shit done. Okay, well, maybe that last one isn't quite true. But as I stand here, arms spread wide, yelling at one bridesmaid to put down the ice bucket and another to drop the hairspray while I'm wearing a sherbet orange dress and my hair is teased to within an inch of its life, I'm going to say it's true. Why, might you ask, am I playing referee in a wedding where I don't know a single soul, not even the bride or groom? Well, that's a funny story. One I'm happy to tell, but it started a few years ago while I was working for my brother-in-law's brother. Did you follow that? Traveling the world and staying in some of the fanciest hotels I'd only ever dreamed about. I was just a girl with a dream of starting my own wedding planning business because weddings are my happy place, writing my own blog to keep my sanity in the insanity that's life, and to not, under any circumstances, fall in love with my boss's best friend, because that's always a bad idea. Okay, that last one came later, much, much later, after I learned why he had that slightly British lilt to his voice, or why he could be so charming to those he cared about, but the devil incarnate to everyone else, or why he would do the sweetest things, but never admit to them. This is my story of business, sex, and love. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Today we're book clubbing, and the Stalker Sisters are all here. And I don't know if we fully explained how that name came about last time. So just so people know how this all came about, and Ron and Susie and Julie will chip in, I'm sure, of course, with reminders. But we tend to hover in the same circles and follow the same people, whether they be authors, models, photographers, their readers, podcasters, bloggers, whatever. And we tend to gravitate towards the same information, especially and looking for people online on Instagram. And we all have our little roles of what we do, trying to find people and recommending people.
And we all know what each other like.
We all know what each other likes. We all have types. Sometimes the types overlap, but it is not unusual for interesting images to come up on Instagram and for one of us to go, ooh, who is that? And then another one of us, Susie, usually finds out. usually finds out, and then we tend to all go and follow that person, and created this little sisterhood of Instagram following. We won't actually say the word because I'm afraid we'll get banned, but I think everybody knows what we're talking about. So one of the authors we all follow is Avery Maxwell, and Ron, as we know, is Avery's PA and longtime reader. And I believe do we all arc read? I don't know.
Yes.
I think we do.
Yes.
We all arc read for Avery. And we all arc read Without a Hitch, which is her latest book. And we decided to have a little book club about it. So we're going to jump right into that with our thoughts and our feedback and our musings and fangirling hard about Avery and this book. So just a little background on Without a Hitch. Without a Hitch is not Avery's first book, but it's her newest book. It's her most recent book. And although it follows some of the characters people might know from other stories she's written, it is a standalone. So that's kind of why we're doing this one. Rather than starting all the way back at the beginning, we're starting with Without a Hitch because it's the most recent. It's the freshest in our minds. And to be honest, for me, if you're looking for an Avery introduction, and you're not necessarily ready to sit down and read the entire series that she's written, the two series, which I do recommend you do, this is a good place to start with kind of a standalone novel. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. So,
But
one
like you
more.
said, go back and read them all because you'll want to read them all.
Yeah, read them because you want to, not because you have to, though, because it really
Correct.
does stand alone.
It does, absolutely. And that's one of the questions that's kind of further down, but let's talk about that for a little bit, because we've mentioned it, is that it is a standalone. It exists in the same world as her other books, but it is completely within and of itself, its own story with its own characters, its own plot line, and its own HEA. So everything that happens within the book can be completely understood and read within the book itself, and you don't need any outside resources, and it doesn't lead into anything else necessarily. It's completely standalone worthy. Yes?
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
So, and I know, Ron, you had some other thoughts on this. So, what are your thoughts on this being a standalone? Because you've read her books more than any of us, and how do you feel about that claim of it being a standalone?
I think that it's absolutely a standalone. It introduces the characters cleanly. It follows their own story arc. It's outside the Westbrook world. And while some of the favorites from those books make appearances, they're not the focus of the story. And theoretically, you could substitute other names and the story would still stand on its own. So I think that it's absolutely a standalone.
That's a great way to explain that too.
It really is. I didn't even think about that. If you change the names, the story continues. It stays the same. Nothing's affected if the names are changed, because it really does stand completely on its own.
Right.
So cool. All right. So let's see, we've got little questions, and I always like to start with quotes, only because quotes are really fun. But now that I'm thinking about it, we did start with standalones, and maybe we should talk about characters. Because the characters are really essential to this plot. I feel like it's a very character-driven story. It does have a plot running through it, obviously, but there are some books that are plot developed that are plot-driven, and then there are books that are character-driven. And I really feel like Without a Hitch is a character-driven story. So let's talk about some characters within the story, everybody's favorites. Ron, favorite character.
Lachlan.
Yeah, absolutely. Why? Why?
Because he's persnickety in spite of himself. I mean, I think that deep down he knows what he wants and he wants to love and he wants to be affectionate, but he's so badly hurt that he's got this protective wall up. And I can resonate with that. I get that.
That's so true. I do too. Susie, what about you?
Uh-oh, did we lose her?
Oh no.
She's there. It
I
said
see her.
she's
All
there.
right, we'll give her a second to reconnect. Julie, what about you?
Oh my goodness. I think, I like Lachlan. First of all, I like a grouch, I guess. And yet in my own home I don't, but whatever. We won't go there. But I like that, he marshmallow. Cinnamon roll, he's kind of cranky, but really underneath all that is just an amazing human.
It really, I
So.
love that cinnamon roll marshmallow thing where it's like there's a little bit of little I don't want to say crusty because God, that sounds so bad,
It
but
does,
kind
but.
of but it kind of is a little bit of a harder exterior, that kind of keeps all the gooey goodness inside. And I love that idea of him being a marshmallow. He really is.
And then his little quirks, which we can dive into, I'm sure later. I'm
Oh
sure
yeah.
that's part of it. But, I have my own little quirks, so I get it. I get it.
I do too. We do. We all have quirks and we all have our ways of working through things. And it's funny because I see my favorite character is Tilly. And I think it's because I do see a lot of those little quirks, and a lot of what Avery dives into in, I don't want to give too much away because it's such a big part of the story, but okay, if you're here, you're going to get some spoilers. There's just no way to book club it without giving some spoilers. But I love the fact that Tilly is a take charge person who steps up in situations that she's needed in. But in most cases within her family and her friend group, she's kind of the one who's always in the background helping, making sure things run smoothly, making sure people have what they need. And there are people all around her who are bigger and brasher, who get noticed for all the things they do. And she's just kind of holding all the things together and moving in the background, keeping things moving. And I kind of see my life a lot like that, to be quite honest. I don't necessarily like being the center of attention or the focus of a room, but I'm more than happy to kind of sit behind the scenes and orchestrate things and make sure that things go right. And I saw a lot of myself in Tilly, you know, wanting the fantasy and wanting the ultimate reward and not wanting to compromise, but ultimately figuring out that in the end, you kind of have to.
And I love her, you know, mean girls are not, she is not going to let a mean girl do stuff to anyone. Yeah. So I like that part of it too. Mean girls suck, but
they
whatever.
They do. No, it's true. You know, and I that is such a huge part of the story, and that is that plot line arc is why she does what she does and how she deals with the mean girls and what they do that causes her to react. So, oh, Susie, are you back?
Hello.
Hey, welcome back, girl. Welcome back.
Okay. Before whatever is happening happens again, Susie, favorite character in Without a Hitch?
Mabel.
Yes. Oh my God. Why? Why?
Because she's snarky. I mean, I can see myself as Mabel when I'm 70 years old. To be.
I think we can see all of us.
True.
We are a group of Mabels. I can definitely see that. Yeah. And I think Mabel is one of those great characters of, you think of her as comic relief, but she had some of the deepest insights when we're, you know, looking at it. And one of the quotes, I have to see if I can find it again, because it's actually not one of the ones I highlighted, but she actually has one of my favorite quotes, and I'll have to see if I can find it while everybody else is talking. So going back just a tiny bit, Without a Hitch is available on Kindle, and it's available in paperback, and it's on Kindle Unlimited. But Julie discovered that you can't do what?
I was trying to, as we were logging in, I tried to, okay, well, we got to back up. For months, it seemed like probably not, it was probably a month, I don't know. We referred, or Avery and her team referred to this book as Woe, capital W, lowercase o, capital A, capital H. So I go to find the book in my Kindle, and it will not bring up Without a Hitch if you put Woe in there. Promise. I tried. So
I love that, because I've done that, and it didn't work.
No, it will not.
I also love how perfect that Woe is for this book, because it was Woe for so long, and then when I was reading it, that's the word that kept going through my head. Things would happen and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Yep, that was, yeah. Absolutely what it was.
Because didn't all of you have the slam the Kindle shut moment for a second when something happened? Like certain things would happen and you're like,
yeah.
I just think that Avery writes a book where you will be snort giggling with, you know, just complete laughter. In the next moment, you need a roll of toilet tissue or a box of tissues to wipe the tears that are from the emotion that is packed in the stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's that way with every book that she's written.
So yep. Much so.
Excuse me. I agree.
So while she's looking for, I don't know, you're looking for Mabel's. Yep. Do you want to just throw a quote out there that's hilarious?
I found it. Yeah, let's do quotes. All right, Ron, you had a bunch. Let's do some quotes.
I actually, it's only two, technically it's only two. The first one is penis whipped. Penis whipped. And later in that same scene, it's Hads, I love you. But if you're about to spray me my face with hand sanitizer, I might lose my shit. But germs! Hadley whispers, glancing over her shoulder like she might offend the male stripper.
That was such a good... That's the opening scene. That's after the prologue. That's chapter one, right?
Yes.
It's like the very beginning of the book hits you immediately with the humor and the group of friends. So there's the group of friends and the sisters. So there's the sisters and the group of friends, I should say. That yes, they're a group. And they're so close. They're what?
There are four of them.
Yes, right. And they're so close. And I love their connection and their connectedness and how they each have a place in the friendship. Is very, very cool and very reminiscent of other people that I know.
Yes. The first quote, when I got a very early copy to take a look at, that first penis whipped quote, I literally lost it in front of my computer. and I was texting Avery in the background saying, I'm like, I cannot believe that you just... put this in a book. It's perfect.
It is perfect. And it sets the tone for the whole book of being very rom-com based, because it does have a serious rom-com base to it. But also this contemporary close friendship, this close-knit friendship of the friends. And it starts the ball rolling for everything else that happens. And sets that humor tone, which I love, but then things go so deep in it, but then the humor keeps surfacing. So it's like that first hint you get is the humor that runs throughout the whole book. And one of the ones for me that hits me with the humor is the conversation of Lachlan's family when they're all at the wedding together at the table.
The euphemism?
Yes. Do you remember that? Okay. I'm going to find that one because I just pulled up the Mabel one and I was reading this one again earlier while I was looking for other quotes because this one keeps coming up and they're having this conversation. Lachlan has a very unusual family dynamic. And I think that's one of the very cool things because it's a part of Avery's books that she brings into this also is this found family. Family's not always, you know, who you're born into. So Lachlan's family dynamic is interesting with him and his parents and his sister. And they're all having this wonderful conversation at a wedding and the mom and the dad are coming up with these euphemisms for sex. The no pants dance, the two-person push-up, stuff the taco. And they're all coming through all these things, feeding the kitty, knocking boots. And then the quote is burping the worm in the mole hole. And then says, bloody hell, mother, the mole hole. I'm like, oh my God. Because that would be me saying that to someone at a wedding. But anyway. So,
Julie, what's your quote?
Well, if we're going with funny, it's hip hip hooray, my pussy's here to play.
Yes.
I laughed out loud for that. I think I immediately probably messaged you all.
I think you did.
Because that's typically what happens.
That was definitely one where that one came. You read it and then messaged it to me and I was like, yeah, yeah. That one was a laugh out loud. Glad I wasn't drinking anything at the time. Because I think that's shown up in a few Kindle quotes too, that people have put in the groups.
Yes. Well, I know. I made a quote, not a Kindle quote, but I made it in a graphic because I thought it was hilarious. So that would be probably the funny one. Because come on, that's hilarious. I don't care who you are. The other one, and it's more deep, is, and but this shows the difference, you know, the sides of Avery's writing. I would rather have experienced her love and lost it than never live in her light.
Yes.
You know, it's deep. So she has those deep moments, but then there's so much levity in this book. It's great.
Yeah. And that's that Mabel one. She says, you're not guaranteed a future, but you do have today. Start living for today and build a future on the happiness that brings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it goes towards that whole conflict within the two of them and trying to find out what's going to be their perfect, may not be what they always dreamed or thought it would be, or what it has to be, or what they expect it to be. Mm-hmm. But
because they come from such mm-hmm. opposites when it comes
they
to
do.
What it looks like.
And yeah, let's talk about some of the themes in here. That wasn't something I originally had, but it's something that's really important. You know, we talk with books, there's always the discussion of tropes. You know, what's the trope? What's this? Everybody wants to know what's the trope when you go into a book, because I like to read this, but I don't like to read that. What do you see as the standout tropes in Without a Hitch?
Are you asking me?
Anybody. Yeah.
It's grumpy sunshine, opposites attract, mm-hmm. fake relationship, boss's best friend.
Yeah, definitely workplace relationship.
Workplace. Mm-hmm. A little bit. I mean, but in it takes a different take on it. I mean, because she doesn't actually work for him.
It does take a different take on it.
It's definitely workplace.
Yeah,
because of her personal endeavors.
Yes, because of the what she does brings to him.
Right.
So
did Susie give us a quote?
Hmm.
Did Susie give us?
Oh yeah, Susie, favorite quote or scene.
Thanks, Ron.
I wanted to make sure you were still here, hon.
She's here. She's checking her handwritten notes. She's such a good student.
I know. I'm like, I love this. It's going to help me.
Hold on.
Well, while she's looking, if you're okay. Wait, you have them written here.
Yeah.
She loves
I love
her
these
note.
Books. You. Susie, where are you?
She trapped again.
Dang it. Because the quotes she has are fantastic. I'm going to pull them up and read them for her if she doesn't get back here. Dang it. Now I got to find them again.
She okay. hears us. She can't talk.
Darn it. Okay. So favorite scenes. Let's do quote. Hold on. Let me find her favorite quote. And then... because she's got a bunch of favorite scenes too. You're always trying to force yourself into 5-year plans. Sometimes I think you forget that you deserve to be happy today too. Mm. And that's another one of those deep ones.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm.
Because who hasn't done that? I mean, really? We all do that.
We all do that. And it's funny because... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Julie.
Hello?
There you are.
Yay, she's back. We were just reading your quotes for you. So read your quotes before you get knocked off again.
Which one have you read already?
5-year plan.
Second one, 5-year plan.
Okay, so that wasn't my favorite. My favorite one is because your biggest, deepest wish is to be loved for who you are, scars and all.
Yes.
Mm. I love that. I'm going to say that I love that to all these quotes. I don't think there's a single quote you can come up with from this book that I'm not going to love.
Well, I think you did the one, let's see, that I, You did Finding Today's Happy Will Change Your Forever, correct?
No, but I love that one.
Yeah, that's like another one too. that I made. The next one, I think, again, it just shows how deep, with all the hilarity that is in this book, it's so deep. It's the gory details that are the bedrock of our souls. They make us who we are, who we want to be. It's in pain that we find our worth.
Wow. She does do things with words, doesn't she?
Yes. And, you know, I think that's one of the neat things is that we talk a little bit about the tropes. Did you say billionaire romance?
I didn't, but it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always think of that as being the fairy tale, yet every one of these quotes we're coming up with is something that we could find as being relevant to us.
But that's also opposites of the attract, because he is, but she's not.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's very much not, like, from the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
And it's not your typical billionaire romance, you know, where I'll buy you the world. It's so much deeper than that.
It really is. And I think that's the main thing is that it is much deeper.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to scare someone who's not, ooh, I don't like billionaire romances. This is not the typical billionaire romance. This is a amazingly deep romantic story, and the hero happens to be a millionaire. That's kind
right.
of
the, absolutely.
That makes sense. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think I put tropes on the thing to discuss, because I think we get so bogged down sometimes in what a trope is and what the tropes are in a story that we can lose sight of what the story actually is. And that becomes the focus rather than the story that goes through it. So, you know, I understand that some people don't like billionaire and some people don't like opposites attract and some people don't like enemies to lovers. I get it, but there's so much more in this book. And honestly, with every Avery book, there's so much more than the surface tropes because of the way she writes her characters, because of the way she moves them through the scenes, because of the ebbs and flows of the comedy and the depth and the characters that she creates. It's beyond the tropes. So I did want to mention it in case somebody's like, ooh, I love billionaire tropes. Great, read it. It might not be what you're expecting for a billionaire book, but it does have that element of it.
Correct.
I want to talk about why we read it and if it was the first book that you read by Avery, which will be a common thread in the book clubs that we do, but I think we're all on the same page with this one. So Susie, can you hear us?
Can you talk to us?
Can you talk to us?
Question.
You hear me?
Yes.
Oh, can
now we do.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, Susie, why did you read Woe? And was it your first book by Avery?
It was not my first book by Avery. And why did I read it? Because I like Avery. And who wouldn't want to read her?
Cool. Didn't you get suckered into being an ARC reader?
Yes, I did.
Guilty.
So let's go back to that. I never.
We lost her again.
We lost her again.
Dang it!
Hello,
there
she is. She muted herself.
No, I did not. I'm getting so annoyed.
So why did you read the book? Why did you become an ARC reader?
Because Ron asked me why I wasn't on the ARC list. And I told her that I don't read ARCs. And somehow I ended up on that ARC list anyways. So here I am.
So you were voluntold.
Yes. That's the word you want to look for.
Sister prerogative.
Was it worth it, Susan?
It was worth it, yes.
Uh-huh. Totally worth it. Yeah. So, you know what? I love the fact that... Was this the first ARC that you've ever read, Susie?
It was not, no.
See, okay.
Kaylee Rose was my first ARC, but I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want to be an ARC reader.
But now you're like, okay, I kind of like this. You got it before everybody else, and you got to read it along with us. So, I love that you read it as an ARC because it just shows, since you don't normally read ARCs and you don't really like to read ARCs, I think for me, it shows the depth of the commitment to say, this is a book I'm going to arc read. And that says a lot about the author and your commitment to the author and to the book as well. So
And to Ron.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to read it regardless, but, you know, Ron just made it up. She's like, you have to read it. I was like, okay.
I needed to be able to talk to you about it.
That's right.
Our group chat, it was a requirement.
It's required group chat material. So, Julie, what about you? First book by Avery, and why did you read it?
Why did I read Without a Hitch?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Avery, and I'm an ARC reader. While I actually enjoy being an ARC reader, Avery is one that I will continue, even if because I know you guys will understand this. It can be overwhelming to have so many, like the pressure of timelines. So for me to say that Without a Hitch is definitely going to be one that Avery's books will definitely be an author that I keep, is saying a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my first book, of course, was, and I'll get this wrong, Cross My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first, you know, we didn't mention how everybody learned about Avery.
We should probably do that.
We have an enabler in the house, and her name might be Michelle, aka Brazen Bookworm. And she kept, you need to read this. Everywhere I went, Michelle's like, Avery, Avery, Avery. So I finally dove headfirst in, and then I started saying, Avery, Avery, Avery. Mm-hmm. So
guilty. totally guilty. That's actually how I met Ron. My first book by Avery was actually Seth's book, which is One Little Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's a novella. It's actually a bridge novella between her first series and her second series, Westbrook's. Ron, help me out. What's the first series?
The first is Westbrook's Broken Hearts. The second is Westbrook's Family Ties.
Right. And then in between there's the little novella, which is kind of more part of Family Ties, I feel, but it is a beautiful bridge. And it was weird because I won the ARC through Melanie Harlow's group. Harlow's Harlots. Avery was doing an ARC mm-hmm. giveaway. And I won the ARC for One Little Heartbreak. And I devoured it. And I was like, I need more, but I can tell that this isn't like where I need to start. So then I went back and read from the beginning, and I read Cross My Heart all the way up through, because right when I finished that, I think is when One Little Mistake came out, which mm-hmm. is the first full length novel in Family Ties.
Right.
Yes. And I was so hooked by then, and pestering Ron incessantly through Messenger for,
That's how I met Michelle.
Ron sent me a message. Go ahead. Tell it.
I sent her a message that said she won the ARC and congratulations. And we had a 2-hour conversation about books. And then she dove into the book, and we had another 2-hour conversation about the book.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. Now she's my enabler.
Yeah. So I came by it honestly through winning an ARC, and I was super excited. And then it just kind of all snowballed from there, because, you know, kind of like within Avery's books, I'm going to make a parallel comparison here, where that there's that concept of found family, and you find the people who come into your life when they're supposed to come into your life, and they shake everything up. And that was kind of how I felt about finding Avery's book. Finding Ron, and then bringing Julie and Susie along for this ride of, you got to read this, you got to read this, it's amazing, you got to read this. And I did, I started posting everywhere because I was super excited about everything I was reading. I was already hyping authors, but Avery was another one that I added, and I was like just instantly enmeshed.
Yeah.
all the things. I wanted to read the arcs, and I wanted to join the group, and I wanted to do all the things because her books had this depth that really spoke to me. And her group has this, it's very similar to Janice's. It's very similar to the Girl Gang, where it's an uplifting, supportive, kind of like Lucy Squid. It's kind of like a bra. Uplifting, supportive, and makes you feel good.
Okay, most bras don't make me feel good.
The right bra.
The right bras.
The right bra. What we've gone off the rails.
They may make me look better, but.
Well, and you know, that's a concept of it too, where when you're surrounded by people who their joy is building you up, it makes everybody look better, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, well, and
that's really kind well of, said.
Thanks. That's why I'm the word fluffer. bringing us back to whoa. That's kind of what Tilly does, is she makes all the things work and fall into place so everybody gets there happy mm-hmm. and everybody looks good and the mean girls get put in their place and the people who are supposed to shine because they're good people and they bring other good people along with them get this moment of joy and beauty and intense happiness because she has this belief that when you surround yourself with good people and you bring in the good, it elevates everybody. Mm-hmm. And Avery does a lot of that in her group too, which I found to be comforting and fascinating and interesting and very, just a comfortable place to be.
Thank you. Yeah. I know she that's her mission. She wants to create a place where her readers can find a safe space to be and to make friendships with other people who are looking for the same. So
I love that. And we're going to talk to her a little later. And I want to bring that up again because her group is a big part of who she is and how she operates. And I love seeing her post. So I don't want to go into that too much here because I want to be, you know, get a chance to talk to her about that too, but bringing it back to whoa. Favorite scenes. We've all got favorite scenes, right? So let's talk about some favorite scenes. Susie, you still got your notes? Can you still hear us? Dang it. Susie, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Oh, wait, there you are. Ah, dang it. Okay, so before Susie comes back, Julie, favorite scenes.
I like the Skittles. The hammock scene is hilarious. It's a great one.
Bathtubs.
Yeah.
Hello.
There she is.
There you are. All right. Favorite scene, Susie. Fast. Go.
Hammock scene.
Yes. What else?
The bathtub.
Mm-hmm. And Skittles and beer in the bathtub.
My all-time favorite.
Darn it. Say that again.
Hello?
Yep. Okay. Say that last one again.
The library?
Ooh.
That's hot.
The library is so hot. Yeah, there needs to be a spice warning on this book. Because for me, I think this was Avery's spiciest book yet. What about you guys?
It was, yes.
Yeah. It was spicy. I mean, she actually toned it down.
No.
We got the PG version.
No. It's absolutely not PG, but I mean, in its current iteration, but it was spicier the first go. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that.
Wow. That's intense. This was my hot flashes were having hot flashes type of book. Yeah.
It's so good. It's really, really good.
She needs to do a deleted scene. Like, maybe we can we ask for a deleted scene?
No.
Later.
I would pay for that.
She could say it on the podcast.
Y'all are going to get me in trouble because I don't know that I was supposed to say that.
Actually, I think Avery actually said it in a post in the group. Because somebody mentioned the spice level, and she said that her editor, I think, had worked to help her tone it down a bit. So I think it's actually mentioned in the group. I think you're safe, because now that I'm thinking about it, I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was. I loved it, but it might have tipped the scales for some folks. So I'm glad. I think that the current edition is pretty spectacular, very well balanced.
It is. It really is. And that's something that I think a lot of people struggle with sometimes, is balance of the heat and the heart. Mm. And this is a beautiful balance, because it really does give the steam. Lachlan is, wow.
Who doesn't love a three-piece suit?
Mm. I love, and who doesn't love baby trackies?
Absolutely.
The gray sweatpants. Baby trackies.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was such a fabulous scene, that whole thing between the baby trackies and is it the floating bed of doom?
The floating bed of doom.
That was so fabulous.
She shared that. I know that she shared the quote for the baby trackie. So
I have seen that one a couple times. It's fantastic.
She posted it today, didn't she?
Yesterday. The baby trackie's forgotten until my dick swings around inside of them like a giant inflatable balloon marching down a street in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
That visual is spectacular.
Because it's familiar. I think that is her niche. She snapshots real life and the pieces of real life that just kind of resonate, and you know that's the reality connection. Mm-hmm. That flows in all of her books, is that she just takes little pictures of real life, real experiences, and she blends it into the fiction, and it's just magic.
I'm going to 100% agree with you there, because there's, even though, like I said, it's a billionaire-ish romance, and it's not a situation any of us can ever see ourselves really falling into, it's so real, and it has such realistic elements. It's amazing.
Says the bridesmaid wrangler.
I've done that.
You did text me saying I'm doing Tilly's job.
I did recently. I did. Yeah, I've actually done it a couple times. So when I left teaching, before I decided to open a dog walking and pet sitting business, one of the things I was considering was wedding planning. And my sister actually talked me out of it. my sister actually owns a bridal shop, and at some point, you know, we're going to have to get her on here to talk about some of her stories, because man, does she have stories, of the bridezillas and the momzillas and the bridesmaidzillas and the wonderful brides and moms and bridesmaids and everything in between. And I've been to the weddings where it has been my job to either wrangle a specific parent or a specific bridesmaid, or the bride themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so have I.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's fun. And yeah, did have to do that recently. So that was interesting. Actually, one of my bestest friends here locally, Fran, is a wedding planner. And the stories she has told me, in fact, I think she read Woe, on my recommendation because of Tilly, and I need to get with her and find out. So Fran, if you're listening to this, which if you're not, I'm going to be putting it in your ear anyway. I want to talk about Woe with you to see how it matches up to that experience, because I think we've also all been to the wedding where we've seen stuff like this happen.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So let's see, because we're coming up on some time here. How does Woe Without a Hitch work into, we know it's a standalone, but how does it work into Avery's other books? Because it does. How does that work into Avery's other books, and what impact did that make on us and you guys having read all of them already?
I think for me, it was just an extension of, you know, the Broken Heart series and Family Ties series. It was like you see bits and pieces of characters from those series, and it's just like a little reunion.
Yep.
Ron, what about you?
Well, I think we meet Tilly back in Saving His Heart. She's Preston's wife's sister. So Preston's right. Sister-in-law. And she shows up again in One Little Kiss as Colton's assistant, mm-hmm. which is the job she has at the beginning of the book. Whoa.
Whoa.
even though you can't search it that way without a hitch. and then Lachlan it shows up in One Little Lie and with his sister Nova briefly. And then again, he's Colton's best friend, so he shows up in One Little Kiss also. Blake, who is a fan favorite, the other grumpiest in the book, shows up in One Little Lie.
And I want his story.
Yes.
Well, it may happen. I make no promises.
No.
Story.
We're gonna have to annoy the shit out of her.
she has plans, and she really hates to leave anybody behind. So,
that's true.
We may see him. Let's see who else shows up. Hadley, Tilly's right. best friend Hadley. Was the star of Avery's TMAS in Lucy Scores' group. Tell That's Me right. a Story. She was the star of Always the Bridesmaid.
And she is in the extended epilogue in Without a Hitch, right?
She is. She yeah. is. And she's one of the four roommates. So we may see her again down the line. Her. No, Nova, Locke's sister. We see her at the end of One Little Kiss, and I can't spoiler it for anybody that hasn't read it, but you might want to go back and read that last little bit, because she probably will show up in Ashton's story. Who else was in it? I'm thinking that's everybody that put in a cameo. Well, Preston and Colton, we know that. Mm-hmm. And Ash too briefly.
Yeah.
But they're just glimpses.
Yeah.
Just glimpses.
And like you said, they can be renamed and they fit.
Right.
But if you know them, it's like, it was like a little reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Susie, what about you? How did it make the connections for you? Darn it. We're going to have to figure out another system for Susie for the Avery segment.
It's like her connection times out.
That's what I'm worried about. So we'll have to figure that out because we need her here. But I think that is one of the things I really loved about it too, for me, was seeing them show up again and knowing who they are and the little things here and there. There she is. All right. While we have you, how did it make connections for you?
Didn't hear me. What was the question?
So we know that it's a standalone, but we know that there's characters that appear from the other books. How did that make that? How do the other characters work into the book? How did that work for you?
It was nice to see all the characters.
I think she lost it again.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Susie, we're going to have to come up with a better system for you. I'm going to work on that today.
Oh.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Are you? We can discuss it later, never mind.
Go ahead, Susie. We can hear you.
She dropped again. All right, so we're going to work on getting Susie on a more stable connection, even if I have to drive up to where she lives and kidnap her and bring her down here.
Oh, we didn't say that. You need to edit that.
I didn't say the word.
Yeah. That word.
Not say the word, because that'll get us banned again. But I loved the connections. I need Blake's. Love Nova. And yeah, I think we're going to. Are we going to have to sit there at Avery and go, mom, until she writes Blake's book?
I think we can't, because the pressure that puts on an author is kind of crazy. And I'm not saying that just because I work for her. I've seen the fan pressure create real writing blocks for other authors. Yeah. And we're all excited and we want everybody to be excited, but, I think that we just kind of, there's part of me that says, you just got to let the author write the characters that are talking.
Yeah.
And that isn't always who the author even wants to hear, you know?
No joke.
I agree with what you're saying 100%, you know, as, you know, I understand that side of it, but the fact that readers are passionate about specific characters says a lot about her writing.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's okay to mention, I need this book, you know, but like, I think I've fault people, not really, in your group, you know, because someone might be upset about who she's writing instead of someone mm-hmm. else. You know, that does absolutely nothing for an author, but stress and pressure and all that. But I think it's okay to say, you know, oh, I love this character and I want to see his HEA or whatever. But yeah. I agree, too much. Well, I guess it's the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now everybody really wanted Ashton's story, and mm-hmm. these characters were just talking louder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a processing that has to happen, especially, I mean, Ashton's story is a big story and it ties up a lot of loose ends. So I think having a space there for those voices to come through is important.
I love the depth that she can create with one character. Like I said, where everybody, they want the book. And like Julie said, I think it's important that you let authors know, I love this character, for them to get their book, because sometimes I think with some authors I've seen also where they're like, well, you know, they were such a minor character, who's going to really want to read their story?
George will.
Hearing that you want their story is beneficial, that, look, you've created this minor character that we've all latched onto. But yeah, there's real value in saying authors are artists and they're creatives, and giving them the space to write who's speaking to them, when they're speaking to them, and tell that story. Hey, Susie, yay. Having them tell that story is key. So finding that support for the author, there's that basic, and I joke when I'm like, you know, we need to bugger, but there's that balance of, we love this character, we want this character's story, and we love you as an author, and we want you to tell the story that's loudest in your head.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I'm her PA, but I came to be in that position because I was a fan first. So mm-hmm. all the, I want, I'm totally on board.
Yeah.
Because I want them too. But I think that I'm maybe a little bit more aware of the pressure that builds.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for her, but for other authors that I'm friends with, and
it's
hard. You never know what they have. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know one of my authors does an overarching plot throughout her series. I mean, they're all standalone romances with an HEA, but there's an overarching plot throughout the series. Mm-hmm. And so if you force her to write something different, it could mess up the whole timeline. So I get that part of it too.
Yep.
And I think, like Ron said, she's working on Ashton's book, which is that culminating book. So not only is she dealing with a really complex, very deep character, she's working with this this pathway that's kind of come together, and there's a lot of things that are going to get tied up. So there's a lot of detail and a lot of intensity, intense character, intense storyline, bringing all these things together. After just writing Without a Hitch, which has its depth and its deep moments, but also has a lot of levity in it, that switch, I think, is really shows the talent, the depth of the talent of her going with what's in her head, taking the break from the Westbrooks to talk about who was really loud in her head with Lachlan and Tilly, and then going back to Ashton when he was ready to tell his story.
Right. That's exactly how it played out, was that she's sitting down to write it, and that's not who talked. So, I mean, I'm sure she'll talk about that later.
Yep. And I do want to make sure we talk to her about that, because I think that's an integral part of her writing, is writing the story that she's told from the characters, rather than trying to create something that's not there. So now that you've heard all the things we love about Woe and Avery, oh, and there's Maggie. We're going to bring Avery on to chat even more about Without a Hitch and her other books and writing in general and all the amazing things. So welcome, Avery. We are so excited to have you here with us today.
Welcome to the chaos.
We are.
Welcome to the chaos. So, I'm always here.
There we go. So welcome to the chaos, Avery. Thank you so much for joining us today. We had a blast discussing Woe.
Yay.
Book clubbing it.
Whoa.
And it's always going to be Woe for me. So really excited to have you join us and chat a little bit about the book. We had some questions and just to get your thoughts and you know, just some history background, all the things.
Yeah. So, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So let's jump right in.
Okay. I'm like nervous. I'm used to like the camera being on me. Now I'm just like all sweaty from the golfing. I'm laying on bed.
Oh no, I don't know if I just cut out. Say that again, Avery. Nope. What was your favorite scene with that bitch?
What was my what?
Your favorite scene in Without a Hitch.
Oh, my favorite scene was definitely the euphemisms for sex. I probably took 3 times longer writing that one than I do any other scene, because I was laughing the whole time. And some of the ones that I came up with, I couldn't even put in because they just didn't make sense. But some of them I found on Google, and some of them, like once you start Googling and you fall down that rabbit hole, like you can make up some pretty weird stuff. And so I just kind of went down a list and I was just writing things down left and right, and I picked the best ones out of there, but I laughed the entire time. I still can't look at that page without laughing.
I think we all laugh at that scene. That was my favorite scene that I picked out, was the euphemisms conversation. Oh crap. I think we just lost Avery.
Yep. She dropped off.
Oh, darn it. Okay. Hopefully she'll be able to jump back in. I don't know what happened.
Is she on her phone?
Oh, I was going to take that with me.
That's fine. Okay. I was just going to drink some.
Love you.
Love you, honey.
Enjoy.
Smile pretty. Don't forget to fill out all the work.
We'll give her a second to jump back on.
Oh, sorry.
There she is.
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
That was
back.
Weird.
Woo. Yeah. It's, you know what? Technology is great until technology is not great.
Right.
So
you're back. My phone down and not touch anything.
that's, you know, I sit myself on the couch and I put the phone in one spot. I had the microphone on and I just don't move. Like, right. If I just stay here, maybe it'll all be okay.
I was trying to be fresh and take a little rest on the guest bed, but I don't think that's a good idea. So maybe I'll just set it here and just not touch anything.
Okay. So right. Nobody touch nothing. Okay.
No touch anything.
No touchy. So the euphemisms, that was my favorite scene.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh every time I read it. I think I did like a little screenshot of it. And every time I need a giggle, that's kind of where I go. 'Cause it was priceless.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that my wasted night of writing wasn't wasted after all.
No,
I probably thing. Spent entire night on it. 'Cause once I started, I just couldn't stop. They were too funny.
I love that. I love that you just kind of went with it and said, I'm having fun and I'm going to go with it. And I think the mom getting involved was like the funniest thing for me because.
Yeah, because she's such like a straight-laced, like you just don't expect her to, but every once in a while she comes out with this little something that tells you she's not quite as straight as she lets you think she is.
Nope. And it was the burping the worm in the mole hole. That was the one. I spit my drink out. I was choking on water. It was so funny. So well done.
Thank you.
I really loved that. So now that we know favorite scene, mm-hmm. I guess one of the other things that we were talking about yesterday was switching gears, because mm-hmm. you have the Westbrook series and you have the Broken Hearts and Family Ties. And then we've got Ashton's book still to come that I know you're working on, but you kind of switched gears from Westbrook's to Without a Hitch. And was it difficult to switch gears, and why did you make that switch?
It was difficult. So I made the switch because creatively I had to. I was in the Westbrook world for 2 years and I didn't feel like I could continue on to Ashton's story without taking a break from it, because, you know, as many light moments as there are in those two series, there's a lot of just stuff that happens, and I just needed to take a break. And so my whole goal with stepping back a little bit, even though I took two characters, you know, essentially from their world to make this new story, was to make it something completely different that I hadn't done yet. To make it, you know, so I had to actually work at making the story funny. Like, I knew that I wanted it to be lighter. I wanted it to be funnier. And even though that was my goal, there's still a little bit of angst in there. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to fully get away from that. But it was really an exercise in stepping out of my comfort zone so I could get back into Ashton. And I'm really pleased with how it came out. But it brought a different kind of stress, because it wasn't like anything that I'd done before. And what was the other part of the question?
No, it's just, was it difficult to switch gears, and why did you make that switch?
So
uh-oh.
We lost her again.
We did. Shoot. So while she's off, because I can edit this, do you guys want to pick some of those questions, pull some of those questions and pick some to ask her?
No.
Okay.
Okay, Susie. Ron?
I can do that. Well, I know them. I know the answers.
I could pick a question. Which one do you want me to?
Sorry. Okay, cool. It wasn't me this time. That's when my phone goes dark, it locks me out.
Yep. I think that was what was happening to Susie yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It times out, and it's like I said, technology.
On a computer.
All right. I'll keep touching it so it doesn't go black.
Just keep touching it.
Just
keep touching it. I was going to edit that out, but that's so funny. I might want to leave that in.
the things you get from a romance author.
That's and readers. I love it. The filter failure effect is one of the most wonderful things I have found, is that sometimes you say something and you're like, whoa, where the hell did that come from? And nobody bats an eye, because either they were thinking the same thing or it's just not a shock.
Right.
It's just funny. So we were talking about difficult parts, switching gears with the Westbrooks from the Westbrooks to Woe.
I was a little concerned too, just about readers, because they've come to expect certain things from me. And I really was making a conscious effort to make this one completely different. That's why the cover is completely different than the other ones. It's why, you know, I tried to set the tone to be lighter and different, but luckily the response was overwhelmingly good. So I'm happy with everything.
Oh yeah. The response was amazing that I saw.
Yeah.
And it was fun watching it kind of snowball a little bit as it picked up steam. And I kind of, you know, I lurk in the group, and as people were added to the group, I was like watching their comments about joining because of Whoa and how they're going back through the backlist. And I was like, yes. So that was kind of neat and kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the read through has been incredible. People, you know, are finding, you know, Without a Hitch and then going back to read, which, I mean, I'd known that should happen, but to actually see it play out has been really, really cool. You know, because these people are reading books that I wrote 2 years ago. And even though I've been in that world for so long, to see it from fresh eyes has been really refreshing too.
Okay, this isn't part of the questions, but you kind of led there. So I'm going to kind of ask, when you see people new that are coming in and they're going back and reading and commenting and sharing quotes and their favorite things about books that you wrote 2 years ago, does it bring back memories of the writing them and when they first came out, help you kind of relive some of that also?
It does, you know, and it also makes me really stop and appreciate kind of how far I've come. You know, because if I think back to where I was when Cross My Heart first came out, I had no idea what I was doing. It literally went up and I just hoped for the best. Like, I had no plan. I had no, you know, I really had no understanding of what I was supposed to be doing. And then with each one, I got a little bit better and a little bit better. And now with this one, the release was completely different. And so to think back on where I was at each of those books, and to see how far I've come in 2 years has been really, really eye-opening for me, because I tend to be pretty hard on myself. So to have to kind of face all of that has been really good for me.
How was it difficult, or how was it different, I guess? How was it different from the first release to this release? Because you said it was a very different release. How was it different?
There was a plan for this one. You know, I mean, you know, it's I also didn't have to do, you know, so if we I the first release for me is kind of a non-starter, because I really had no idea what I was doing. And so if I were to go back, like I always say, like my third book, Saving His Heart, is really where I kind of fell into my groove writing and as a business owner, and just kind of everything kind of started to fit together for me. So if I go back to that one, you know, I did have a plan. I did have, you know, goals and different things in place, but it was nowhere near the level that we did for this one. This one, everything from, you know, cover reveal to title reveal, everything was mapped out. And so I'm still learning as I go. You know, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at other romance authors, I'm still considered a baby. You know, 2 years is nothing compared to some of these authors that I look up to and respect. And, you know, it just reminds me that I'm always going to need to learn and continue to grow.
I love that, because that's a really good reminder also for authors who are brand new, who are just starting out, authors who are about where you are, that there's a process. And it's not always going to be a perfect process, but it's always going to be a learning process.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a way to kind of step forward and move forward, but there's always going to be things to learn.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole etiquette to being an author. Whether it's with other authors, with readers, there's this whole process that you have to learn. And there's just no way to learn it unless you just jump in. Really, there's no guidebook. There's no map that's going to tell you how to get from point A to B to C. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, you learn and you either sink or you swim. And I don't know. It's just you have to keep moving. You have to keep going through the steps and, you know, pick yourself up after you make a mistake, because you will make mistakes. And I make them daily.
Yeah. And, you know, we learn the best from our mistakes, because if there isn't a mistake to learn from, everything just kind of looks, yay, great. And you don't look at the lesson in it as much as you learn from, you know, this didn't work, so what do I do now? Right. So you kind of have a team now where you're working with. And when you first started, it was just you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like there's always like the other baby authors that are, you know, try to help and you try to work your way through, but yeah, I mean, when I started, it was really just my friend Beth being like, come on, you're going to do this. Let's do it. Let's figure it out.
I love it.
I did, yeah.
So, okay, so this may be a weird question. Do you feel that there's more pressure and stress now or when you started?
I think it's always there. I think that it feels more now because I'm aware of it. Right? Mm. When I first started, like, it was there. I just didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, I knew that there had to be a process. There has to be a way to do things. But because I was just blissfully unaware of what that process was, I couldn't take on any of that. You know, and every time that I do learn something, that stress gets added to it, which I think is probably, you know, with anything, you know, just like I published Cross My Heart because I didn't know I couldn't. You know, it's kind of how I've done anything that I've succeeded at in my life. It was because I didn't know that I couldn't do it.
I love that. I love that so much. It's funny. There's like a little parallel when we're raising kids. You know, my concept was always don't tell them they can't do something.
Yeah.
Because if you tell them they can't, they won't try.
Yeah.
And if you don't tell them they can't, chances are they'll try it and either they'll succeed or they won't. And then they'll either try it again or they won't. But if you don't tell them not to, then they just organically, they will, you know, and I love that concept of what you, because you said like you're a baby author, you're still learning too. If you don't know that you can't or you shouldn't, and you want to, you're going to, and look what it's led to. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if I had gone in to Cross My Heart knowing what I know now, I would have shut down. I would have felt too overwhelmed. I would have been too stressed out, and it would have, Cross My Heart probably still wouldn't even be out. But I went into it and I just did it just on a whim because my friend told me I had to, you know? So I think I'm my own worst enemy a lot of the times, you know, if I have too long to think about it or I have too long to get down on myself about it, I don't do it. So I'm really thankful that I just kind of put it out there and then had to learn how to swim.
No, that's, you always say, you know, throw them in the pool and see what happens. Just stay close by.
Right. So.
Just in case, you know, because nothing's an ever perfect plan, but just in case.
Right.
So, but, okay. So getting, I know Susie had a question going back directly to Without a Hitch.
Yep.
So Susie, what was your question?
The most difficult part.
All right.
The most, so I'm going to say in this, it's going to sound weird, but it was Lachlan's family because I had spent so much time building and forming these relationships with the Westbrooks that I was really intimidated to start a whole new family, you know, that had the same kind of themes, but were completely different. You know, they all, I think every family has like their wacky ways. Right. But Lachlan's family is just, there's different in the way that they go about it. So I struggled with making the comparisons between them and the Westbrooks. And that was totally on me. It was something that I put on myself, but I did worry about bringing, you know, just like bringing the new characters and all of Tilly's friends, just starting this whole new world that people didn't know and wondering if, you know, are they going to like it? Like they like the Westbrooks, it's very different. Are they going to go for, you know, all the female friends? Like it was just a lot of insecurity that made it more difficult than it had to be.
Interesting. So you're, like you said, you know it so well, moving into something else, creating something else, a new world. It does become a little bit intimidating sometimes, like walking into a room where you don't know anybody.
Yeah, that's exactly what writing this book felt like. It was going into a new situation, not knowing how it was going to be received, and just hoping for the best.
So a little bit more on, this might lead to a little bit of that, but Ron had a good question for this one.
Well, it's not really a question, but because I think I know the answer, but when it comes to Woe, mm-hmm. by comparison to, well, you can compare it to Cross My Heart or any of the others. Mm-hmm. Did you do more planning or plotting with Woe than you did with the others?
No, I went into it the same way I go into everything. I asked my characters, like, you know, once I figured out their name, I asked them what their problem was. And I probably had a little bit more difficulty with finding out like what Tilly's problem was, because she didn't really necessarily have a big problem in the beginning.
And so I ended up having to go back and kind of rewrite her once I figured out like what her insecurity was. But I find if I try to plan, it takes twice as long and I don't end up there anyway. So I take my notes and I kind of figure out who the characters are. I always do a Enneagram for each of my main characters to figure out their strengths and weaknesses and how they would relate to each other. And from there, I open chapter one and I just write from beginning to end.
So is that making, I'm gonna ask the question because I'm you're neck deep in it. Now that you're writing Ashton's story, because it's the last in the series, are you finding that the planning to tie all those threads up is making the process more difficult or less difficult?
I think it's a two-part answer. I think if I let go of my need to make everybody happy, I'd be able to just write the story beginning to end. I think because I'm too concerned about all the points that readers want tied up in a nice little bow, it's making it hard. This is the hardest book that I've written, and it's because of all those. It's always going to come down to insecurity with me, I think, but just knowing that I've left so many things open, unintentionally or intentionally, because it goes both ways with some things. I do worry that I'm going to disappoint people, and that's a big trigger for me. Like, I really struggle with letting people down. So I'm trying to get as much as I can into the story while still keeping it about Ashton and Nova, because at the end of the day, even though there's all this other stuff that has to go on, it's their love story. It's not necessarily all this other stuff that's happening. It's really about how they connect and how they're going to get their happily ever after, knowing that I have to close off some of the things. But, you know, I think I just have to get okay with the fact that somebody somewhere is not going to like something, right? That's kind of like with every story, but this one I feel it the most, because I also know that it's the last one. You know, the Westworks will be done after this. So
is finding that closure more difficult, do you think, writing it because you know it's going to be closure? Or are you really looking forward to that closure?
Well, here's the thing. I'm really looking forward to being out of this world. At that being said, like I do have trouble leaving characters behind. So there are characters that will get their own story that will, you know, like Lachlan and Tilly, I pull them out. There's going to be all these other characters that are still going to get their stories, but not being necessarily tied to all the stuff that the Westbrooks have gone through. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, I have a bunch of standalones that are really, really loud that want to be written. And they're all, wait, let me think before I say that. Yeah, they're all characters that people have seen, like in passing, but they're not going to be in the Westbrook world. They're all going to have their own worlds. They're all going to have their own lives and difficulties and families. And it'll be good. I'm really excited to kind of expand and meet new people in my head.
Can't wait for that.
So excited about that. I cannot tell you. I love the Westbrook world, and it has been this amazing journey.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit of a spinoff slut. So I really, really love the spinoffs that kind of jump from these great series, these foundational series. And then, you know, this one gets their book and this one gets their book and that one gets their book. And sometimes it's two people from a series who get a book together. And sometimes it's one person from a series and somebody who's just randomly coming into the picture. And I love that element of these deeply created worlds, because it's like, I get to revisit, but it's brand new.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited. I like the, you know, as a reader, I really like, you know, all the Easter eggs. Like when you're reading a book and you see like there's a character that comes in, you're like, wait, that sounds really familiar, and then it clicks. That's the main character in a story that came out 5 years ago. You know, like I really like those little cameos. So I like that I'll be able to do that with the West books, and that way I don't have to really get rid of them. Like they don't ever have to really be gone. They can still kind of pop up, but they won't be my central characters anymore. And then, you know, I mean, I never say never, but there's about 4 billion kids now. So if I ever get to the point where I want to write about the Westbrooks again, there will be a ton to choose from.
Yeah,
that's true. You have a whole next gen thing that's kind of started there.
Yeah,
that becomes a jump off point at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. And
I'm really excited because in this one, Sadie is a teenager. So you're getting to see, because it's happening 8 years after Romancing His Heart ended. So I think that people forgot, I forgot that there's such a wide timeline between all the stories, because they all kind of like, there's some that happen like congruently, and then there's some that happen 3 years later. And, you know, but when I sat down to kind of map it out, it's 8 years later and she's not six anymore. She's 14. So getting to see her a little bit older has been really fun too.
I just got goosebumps when you said that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true that they're growing up. And there's, you think about, you read the books and you're reading it one after the other. And the time, I think it kind of has this weird wobble where you're like, how is it playing in and what's the time frame? And you know it when you're reading it.
Yeah.
But then when you actually look at that timeline and you're like, wow, that's 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, my timeline is so screwed up. It starts with, you know, Cross My Heart, but then it goes before Cross My Heart for the second book, and then it goes, you know, in line with the next one, and then the first one in the second series is happening when the third book is happening. Like, it's, I don't know what I was thinking. I just, again, didn't know any better. So I did really have to sit down and figure out how old everybody is in Ashton's story and where they are, where they're living now. Like, you know, how many kids they have. Like, it was a lot of math that I'm not good at. So
I was telling somebody the other day, I have a t-shirt that says English major, you do the math.
Yeah.
So, but I will say that when I read the series from the start, went back and read it, because I started with Seth's book, which, yeah, that's a whole other story. But when I went back and read it, the way everything interconnects to me as I was reading it, I know it had to be hell for you to create that timeline and maintain it. But in my mind, I was, as a reader, I was like, this is so cool because I get to see the before, the now, the then, the what was happening on this side while this was happening on that side. That was a really cool element to me. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. But again, it was a thing that I just didn't know any better.
Sometimes that's not a bad thing.
Now that I'm on book nine, I'm realizing that it's not quite as easy as it was at book four. But
yeah. So Julie's back. You're back?
I'm back. I'm back. I came home. I was in the car doing the mom thing. And so I'm back. So I do have a question.
Yeah.
How have your life experiences influenced your writing and your characters?
Well, I think in every book, there's a character, if not multiple, that have something from me in it. Whether it's emotional or physical or, you know, something that's happened in my life or how I handle certain situations, there's always a piece of me in the story because that's how I connect to it. And I found that when I'm able to really connect with someone in the story, readers connect to it better. So I really try to keep some piece of myself in the story. You know, unless you know me really well, you most of the time don't pick it out. But I think it affects a lot. I mean, I think, you know, depending on what I'm going through in my life, like I definitely know that it alters where my story goes. You know, if I'm struggling with something happening to me, it always ends up in the character's world. You know, I feel everything so hard that I think it's impossible for me not to put that in there.
Right. That makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We talk about a lot about writers being artists and being empaths. And there's always a little bit of that energy of feeling how you feel and how others feel and bringing that into a story, especially when you're writing it. I think that's what makes, for me, what makes your stories really relatable. Well, I'm umming a lot today because I'm just trying to get all the thoughts together.
Yeah.
It makes everything very relatable for me. It makes it very cogent that it's like, I understand why this is happening and how this can happen, and makes the characters much more real when you see them going through struggles.
Yeah. You know, I tried to explain to my husband when I'm writing, you know, whether I'm writing as the male or the female, in my head, I am that person. And so the only way that I can write it is if I feel it. So, you know, when I was writing Preston, when he was going through his stuff, I was sitting there sobbing, like I ruined like a whole keyboard because I couldn't control the chairs, but I can't write it if I'm not feeling it. So whatever they're going through, I feel the entire way through. And that's why sometimes, like, you know, sometimes stories are easier and sometimes like I really struggle through them because it's hard to get into that mindset.
And mindset is everything when you're talking about something like this, being able to find that mindset to sit and do.
Yeah.
Mindset's a whole nother lesson and a whole nother podcast that we can do.
That is really, really true. I've found that even for me when I'm trying to write something or put something together, you know, I bounce things off the group all the time of going back and forth. I want to write about this, but I'm really feeling this, but I really want to write about this, but I'm not feeling it. And how do you justify what you're trying to write if you're really not into it, I guess. Yeah. So.
And I think I'm speaking from definitely a non-writer here, but if you don't have the passion behind the story that you're writing, it's not going to be up to your standards or the reader's standards. Yeah. So
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Ron, you had another one.
Oh, I was just going to ask if there was anything like on the horizon that you're really excited about.
Yes.
That you can spoil here.
Well, I mean, there's a few things, but one I kind of gave out in my newsletter today, but Connor Crace is going to be Lachlan in the audio version of Without a Hitch. And I am so excited. He is going to be amazing as Lachlan.
He's going to be, well, he ranks right up there with Sebastian York, in my opinion. So I am super stoked about that choice. do Lachlan justice.
As soon as I heard him say Kabubi in Kaylee Loring's book, I knew. And so the entire time that I was writing Lachlan, I was like, oh my God, like he's going to do that slightly British, like a little bit of like his Lachlanisms are going to be amazing. I knew I had it in my head the whole time.
Oh my God. That is so, you know, I can hear it.
Yeah.
And I can see it. It is so perfect. And yeah, that Kaylee Loring book was superb.
Hilarious. Yes.
And so funny. She just is the nicest person. Like, you know, when you look up to these authors and then you find out that they really are just amazing people, she's one of those ones that never disappoints. She's just super, super sweet and down to earth.
She does seem very real. I love her posts. Her group is hilarious.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. I think that was the first audiobook I ever had to pull off to the side of the road while I was listening to it to keep from crashing because I was laughing so hard. I was crying and I couldn't see.
Yeah, I had to text her and tell her that I missed my exit twice because of her, because I was not like, I mean, that's like dangerous driving. I shouldn't probably say that, but yeah, I had to stop the audio because I kept missing my exit. It was awful.
Yep. And I always listen to audiobooks in the car and I was like, I can't listen to these in the car.
Yeah.
Because I was laughing so hard. So I'm in the parking lot and I'm laughing so hard I'm crying. And the people in the car next to me are probably thinking, I don't know what they were thinking. But I laughed so hard. And Connor Crace he's just phenomenal. And that was, when I saw that, I went, okay, I'm like big time, you can't see me, I know, but I'm like big time, like happy girl screaming into the ether right now because
When I found out, so Dan called and he's like, we got Connor Crace. And I literally fell out of my chair and I had to put him on hold while I untangled my legs from the bottom, like the wires of the chair, because I was all caught up. I was so excited. Like, thank God no one could see me because I made a huge fool of myself.
I love that so really much. I love that so much. Wow. Okay. So that's super exciting. So we're going to wait a little bit for that because he's booked up and everything, but
yep.
Damn, if anything was ever worth the wait, it's going to be worth the wait.
I know. But that's the thing. Like, they're like, do you want to wait? And I said, yes, absolutely. Like, there's not a hesitation. Like, I knew that he was Lachlan and I was willing to wait as long as it took.
It's worth it. It will be worth it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now that we're all breathing again because of the excitement, we've got this speed round.
Okay.
It's just 10 random questions, may or may not be book related. Just going to ask a question and just answer it. It's just all in fun. All right, ready?
Yep.
Okay. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Kindle or paperback?
Oh, brutal. Kindle.
I know, right? The hard questions.
That was not fair.
Not fair at all. Fly or drive?
Ooh, I guess fly.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Yum.
But it has to be Breyers.
Ooh, yeah, they do a good one.
Yeah.
Beach house or a mountain lake retreat?
Beach. Always a beach.
Sneakers or sandals?
Sandals.
Me too. Football or baseball?
Football.
Yes. Ooh, favorite team? Who's your team?
Favorite team? Red Sox. I'm a Boston girl.
And action flick or rom-com?
Rom-com.
Yay! All right. See, that wasn't hard, was it?
No, that was easy. It's when you ask, like, what kind of pie? Then I'm like, oh my God, really? Then I would have to, like, really stop and think about it.
What kind of pie?
Oh boy, now I'm going to get myself in trouble. Well, so here's the thing. I'm kind of a snot, and I only like things that I make. So I make a really good coconut cream pie that I like, but then I get it other places and I don't like it. So
I get that.
If I'm going to get pie 100%. Somewhere else, if I'm going to get pie out, I'll get probably like apple, because it's pretty hard to not like apple pie. But if I'm going to have it at home, I have to make it. Yeah.
Feel free to share that recipe.
Right.
For the coconut cream. Oh yeah, it's a good one.
That's my favorite, actually. So,
yay!
Well, Avery, thank you so much. Anything else that you want to share that you want people to know before we let you go get back to Ashton and Nova?
No, I mean, they're going to come out in January. And then after that, I'm going to be kind of on a 3-book binge that will be all standalones. And I'm really, really excited. Like, I have a whole notebook for these other books because they're so loud right now.
Wow. I'm
excited to get to those. Yeah.
I love hearing that. I love hearing the author has voices that are, that the characters are so loud in their head that the stories are telling.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. Avery, thank you. We're going to let you go and we're going to wrap up here, and then I'll send you the link for everything. And thank you again so much for coming on with us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Avery.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye.
Bye. Wow. So, final thoughts, guys, before we wrap this up?
I'm really excited for the next year, but I'm invested. So,
what are you most excited about?
Well, I love Ashton's whole deal, but I kind of have the inside scoop on the next one, and you guys are gonna flip out. I can't say anything because she'll like
say nothing.
I'll be in trouble. But the next standalone is pretty amazing.
Oh, wow. I'm pretty excited. Amazing. I don't even know who it's about, and I'm excited anyway. So. Julie, Susie. Final thoughts?
I'm excited about Nova.
I am too. I mean, I think Avery writes such emotionally driven characters that I feel like this Ashton's book is going to be
another tearjerker.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be brutal. But yeah. She will throw levity in there for us. So we can, you know, get back, you know, our breathing state instead of our hiccuping, crying. I just think it's going to be really good.
Wow. I love Nova already. And I love Ashton already. And the two of them together, knowing that this is the culmination, like you said, I'm digging deep for that emotion because it's going to hit.
Did you check out the teaser she dropped in Love Club today?
I did.
So you should go check it out, because it, it kind of sets up the dynamic of their relationship. And I think that Ashton may be in for some challenges. Some challenges. I mean, he's got Sadie and Nova after him now.
Wow. And Sadie's a teenager. I'm having trouble getting past that to begin with. But so if you're listening and you're not in Avery's Facebook group, so it's Avery Maxwell's Love Club, and it's LUV Club, which you'll recognize that LUV spelling from her books, because she uses that a lot. And join the group. It's a great place to hang out. It is honestly one of the comfort groups for me. One of the places I feel safest on the internet right now, that I feel valued and seen and secure and can have fun. So definitely check out the Love Club. It's a great place. And yeah, I'm looking at it right now and I'm going to read it as soon as we finish up here, because wow, Ashton and Nova.
Yeah.
So I think we're all set. So thank you guys for joining.
Thank you.
And next month. Oh, so next month, real quick before we go, September, we are book clubbing Reactivated Cassian by Carissa Grasick.
Ghost.
So, yep. So we're going to do Ghost's book. So this way it gives people a chance who haven't read it to catch up. I don't know where they've been, but they need to catch up. So we're going to do Ghost's book next month and still working on October. Not sure what that's going to be yet, but I think we have an idea. But so it's Reactivated Cassian by Carissa Grasick for next month. And it was Without a Hitch by Avery Maxwell for this month. And thank you, Stalker Sisters, for joining me. And we'll do this again next month.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
So that's it for us for today, everybody. I really appreciate you hanging out with us. This was definitely a much longer episode than normal, but we had a lot to say. So hopefully you found some great information in what we shared and were able to relive some of Without a Hitch with us as well. Special thanks to my stalker sisters, Ron and Julie and Susie, and very special thanks to Avery Maxwell for joining us to talk about Without a Hitch. You can find Avery on Facebook and Instagram, Avery Maxwell. You can find her in her group, Avery Maxwell's Love Club, LUV Club on Facebook. It is a great place to hang out. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, the blog. Remember, Brazen Bookworm is Brazen Bookworm. I do like the whys because I'm a little weird. But thanks again for joining. I'd love to hear your comments and feedback about the podcast, about the book, and apologies for the technical issues. We are learning as we go. We're going to make some adjustments for next time, but isn't it nice to know that when your technology fails you, you are not the only one who has these glitchy issues? It's nice for me to know it. So until next time, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, TikTok, email me, send me a message, comment, and I'll be back next week with more bookish musings. And until then, I'll see you online.